a Mark DeSalle production. Jean-Claude Van Damme. Death Warrant. Water, eddies and pools. Starring Robert Guillaume. Cynthia Gibb. George Dickerson. Art LeFleur. Patrick Kilpatrick as the Sandman. Featuring Joshua Miller, Hank Wozner, George Janeski. Jack Bannon, Abdul Salam El Razak, Armin Shimerman. Casting Kathy Henderson, Michael Cutler. Costume designer Joseph Porro. Associate producer Andrew G. LaMarca. Edited by G. Greg McLaughlin, John A. Barton. Music by Gary Chang. Director of Photography, Russell Carpenter. Production designer, Curtis Schnell. Written by David S. Goya. A city street. Night. Water flows along a gutter. A man creeps down the side of a building. Produced by Mark DeSalle.
I think he's inside. I'm gonna check it out.
Mark, wait for backup.
He killed my partner. I'm not waiting.
Listen, Burke, this is L.A., not Canada. We have procedures here. You can't handle this alone.
A tousle-haired Burke is shoved from behind.
What's the problem?
Hey, man, what you doing here?
I'm busy. Scram.
I'm gonna teach you a lesson in manners.
Burke elbows the first Hispanic and high kicks the second.
Like I said, I'm going in.
Burke switches off his walkie-talkie and tucks it in his belt. He pulls out his revolver and checks for bullets. Holding his gun aloft, he makes a beeline for the front entrance of the abandoned, graffitied building. He strides cautiously inside. He mounts some stairs. He creeps through the upper floor, his head swiveling from side to side. He enters a room where a bloodied, battered body lies stretched out. He stares at the corpse. In the background, a mobile strung with small bells tinkles. Burke walks deeper into the gloomy recesses. He advances on a set of double doors. He turns a doorknob. He hurls the doors open and points his gun. A battered doll sits on a pile of abandoned clothes. Burke takes his finger off the trigger. A man leaps from the shadows and slashes Burke across the chest. Burke falls backwards, his gun flies out of his hand. As Burke grasps his gun, the curly-haired maniac flings Burke across the room.
Go to sleep and join your old partner.
The man advances on Burke, knife at the ready. Burke shoots.
I'm the Sandman. You can't stop me.
Burke opens fire again. The bullet penetrates the Sandman's chest and carries on through his body. Burke peppers the man with bullets. He crumples to the floor. Burke lowers the smoking gun. The squad cars squeal to a halt outside the building.
You're under arrest.
An airport runway in the early morning. A plane comes in to land. 16 months later... A smartly dressed Burke strolls into a long corridor. Office doors line the walls. Officers mill in the main hallway. Burke walks into the main office. A female officer breaks off her conversation and goes over to hug Burke. A male detective shakes Burke's hand. Burke opens the door to a plush wood-panelled boardroom. Several people sit round a large oblong table.
Detective Burke, have a seat.
The Attorney General points to a leather chair right next to him.
On my right is Ben Keene. On your left is Sam Walden.
I represent the governor. I'm heading his task force on prisons.
I'm with State Board of Corrections.
And who are you?
Amanda Beckett. She works for me.
Detective Burke. Specialized in undercover work with the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, stationed in Quebec.
You followed Christian Naylor, the Sandman, to L.A. We've had some problems in one of our prisons, Harrison Penitentiary.
It's a local piece, small-town news.
The assistant warden was murdered. Now a guard has intimated that it might be linked to the deaths of some prisoners, 9 in the last few months.
We've got a gubernatorial election coming up this fall. Prisons are already an issue. We don't want this to become a part of it.
The governor's put me in charge of rectifying this little mishap.
We want to send you undercover into Harrison as a prisoner.
Ben Keene stares Burke out.
You're from Quebec. No one in jail will recognize you. Only this committee will know you're an officer. You'll be sentenced to Harrison for armed robbery.
Armed robbery is a respectable crime among inmates. It's implicitly violent. They respect violence.
We're also assigning a partner of sorts. Amanda will act as your liaison. She'll be posing as your wife. Amanda will relay information. Through her, we'll be able to closely monitor the operation.
Brunette Amanda and Burke lock eyes.
Well, Detective, what do you say?
I'll let you know.
A city skyline. Day. On the steps of a large Grecian-style building.
So would you like me to file the papers for you first thing in the morning?
I think the sooner the better. I know you always do a good job. So we'll see you tomorrow night then?
Yeah. Oh, have Helen call me if she wants me to bring anything.
I will.
Bye.
Pleasure meeting you, Mr. Burke.
How long have you known him?
Long time. He's really been like a father to me. I've been working for him ever since I graduated law school.
When was that?
Last year.
Burke shifts uncomfortably.
Is there a problem, Detective Burke?
You don't have enough experience to be on this case.
Let's get something straight here, Detective. I'm no Girl Friday. I graduated top in my class at Stanford, and if you're uncomfortable with the fact that I'm a woman, then that's your problem, not mine.
Okay. Check the files of any serial killers at a recent prison.
Then you'll take the case?
I'll see you Tuesday.
Amanda smiles.
Lewis?
Burke stands in the pouring rain.
You're getting wet.
A large stone building with a red roof, Harrison Penitentiary. Guards survey the prisoners from on high. A prison bus approaches the entrance. Prisoners mingle in the yard. Some play basketball. The bus crawls through the prisoners. The inmates wave and thump their fists on the bus windows. The inmates jump up and peer into the bus. The guards pull them away. A line of chained, orange-suited prisoners disembark. A blonde inmate whispers to a half-shaven, dark-haired inmate. They glare at the new arrivals. Burke steps off the bus. The prison warders, headed by a 50-something mustachioed man and a thick-set, dark-haired man, inspect the raggedy lineup.
Listen up! Clasp your fingers in front of you. And don't move. I am Sergeant DeGraff. I decide when you eat, when you shower, when you have visitors. You are fish. New arrivals. People will try to hurt you, rob you.
The thick-set man, DeGraff, cracks a monkey nut with his truncheon.
Even rape you.
DeGraff crushes the monkey nut between his fingers. The prisoner in front of him drops his eyes to the ground as DeGraff does. DeGraff glowers at the spent nutshell, then at the prisoner. The prisoner bends down to pick it up, and DeGraff whacks him across the back.
He said don't move. Very good.
DeGraff and the mustachioed guard, Keller, smirk. DeGraff cracks more nuts.
It's important that you obey my rules.
DeGraff eyeballs Burke. He lets another shell fall to the floor. Burke lowers his eyes, observes the shell. Burke and DeGraff lock eyes. Burke remains still.
Rules can make the difference between your life and your death.
In the infirmary, the prisoners line up to be examined.
Dr. Gottesman, any communicable diseases?
Not yet.
Does your family have...
Excuse me? You're Burke, right?
How about Alan?
You have AB negative blood. That's very rare. Okay, take it into the next room, please. Come on, move it.
Dr. Gottesman gazes after the new fish.
Identification number 72688. Memorize your number, 72688. This is your identification card, Mr. 72688. Your new home is sea level, cell C71. Next.
Burke steps up. He scrutinizes the black prisoner, who returns the stare with his good eye.
It's dead.
Excuse me?
The eye. You were looking at it. It's dead. Got stabbed in it.
Stabbed in the eye.
Yeah. I got stabbed in the eye. 4:27. Okay, you got your towel, you got your toothbrush. Meal shift starts every morning at 6:10. Lunch is noon straight up. Dinner is at 6:30 p.m. You can take a shower once a day, check yourself for fungus and body lice. Any questions? Your identification number is 72689. Memorize your number, 72689.
72689. Right. My name is Burke.
Your ID card, Mr. 72689. Your new home is sea level. Cell C68. Next. Okay, you've got your towel, you've got your toothbrush.
Burke follows the guard through rows of prisoners to his dingy cell. The inmates inspect him as he walks past. The guard pushes him into his cell. Burke picks up a radio off the top bunk. He twiddles the frequency button. A slim man, bare-chested, bar a waistcoat, stops at the cell door. He examines the outside and inside of the cell, then plucks the radio from Burke's fingers.
What are you doing here? What do you think you're looking at?
I'm new here.
I don't care where you are. You think you're to sleep here? Real estate. Cost you $500.
Don't have any money.
Oh, you don't have any money. Well, that's okay. You can punk.
Excuse me?
Can you get down on your hands and knees? And you pay, just like any other cherry.
Burke averts his gaze.
So. Oh, you don't think so?
The man pulls a shank from the bunk.
Possibly. You might want to reconsider.
Burke twists the man's hand away. He pins him high against the wall.
I don't pay. I don't punk.
Okay, take it easy. I was just jerking you around. You don't have to have a hairball about it. Look, you want the top bunk? Take it.
The bottom would be nice.
Better yet, you got it.
Thanks.
Cell doors open. In the canteen, Burke lines up with the other inmates and collects his food. He leans past a prisoner to speak to the black inmate with the one good eye.
72689, remember?
Yeah, I remember. You don't eat that.
What's wrong with my food?
Hey, nigga. Are you talking about me, Missy? Huh?
Perez, we keep to ourselves now. We don't give a shit about you people.
Yeah?
Hey, listen.
Hey, it's on me.
Let him go.
School, I said.
The Hispanic, Perez, punches the inmate in the stomach, then hits Burke. Burke high kicks Perez. Guards intervene.
You dare, I say! Puto! You fucking dare, I say! You dare! Let him go.
DeGraff enters. The prisoners quieten down and take their seats. Graff strides forward. He glares in Burke's direction, then fixes an evil eye on Perez.
I'll talk to you later. Hawkins.
The black inmate steps up.
I know. Always the nigger's fault.
Hawkins shoots DeGraff a final glance and walks away. DeGraff turns his attention to Burke. He gets in his face.
You're not going to last too long.
It's the threat.
No.
DeGraff brushes blood from Burke's mouth.
Promise.
He glowers at Burke, who keeps eye contact.
It never happened! Back to dinner!
DeGraff whispers to a wavy-haired guard who nods.
You rat, I say. Fucking dear.
Perez runs his finger across his throat. Burke weaves his way between the tables of inmates. He places his food tray down on a table crammed with black prisoners.
What's the matter with you? Can't you see this is a black table?
Burke wipes blood from his mouth.
Stick with your own kind. Trust no one now.
What about you?
What about me? You don't know who I am. You don't know anything.
Hey, Fish. Hey, why don't you sit with us, Fish?
Burke stares Hawkins out. He takes his tray and joins the blonde mustachioed man.
Down, bright boy.
The blonde and his half-shaven friend, Keel, size Burke up.
So what are you in for, huh?
I was a bad boy. And you?
Me and Keel here, we got the big bitch. A bitch. See this?
The blonde taps writing on Keel's shaven scalp.
Those are the people he's killed.
That's very special.
Night. Guards patrol the outer compound. Inside, the bell goes for lights out.
Wrap them up, Nick!
The inmates traipse into their cells. The doors slide closed.
Begin count.
Tier 2C, 69.
Tier 2C, 69.
Tier 2C, 68.
Burke's cellmate, Konefke, drinks from a container full of rust-coloured fluid, Pruno. He grimaces as he swallows.
Pruno. Make it ourselves.
He offers Burke a swig. Burke accepts the container. He smiles. He takes a sip. His face sets. Konefke sniggers and slaps him on the back.
It's good for what ails you. Saw you helping out that nigger, Hawkins. Not good. It's bad mojo. Most of the time you can't even trust your own kind in this place, you know what I mean?
Burke shoots him a glance. He slips off the bunk and sinks to the floor.
Hey, Kanifke. How long have you been here?
Maybe 6 years.
I hear a lot of guys are dying.
Konevki lowers the container from his mouth.
Konevki?
Yeah, maybe. But I don't see so well no more. I'm like one of those monkeys you hear about. You're no evil, see no evil.
Burke turns and eyeballs him. Konevki raises his finger to his lips. He points out of the cell. The following day, visitors' area. A guard with a shotgun paces outside. A woman and child leave as a smartly dressed Amanda enters the visitors' room. She hurries over to the seat opposite Burke. Mesh separates them.
That's a nice outfit.
Thank you.
You're trying to get me killed. You're supposed to be my wife, the princess.
I didn't realize.
Pay attention next time.
Burke glares at Amanda.
I ran your MO check on serial killers here. Nothing matches up. I checked all the death certificates and all the victims died of puncture wounds to the back of the skull. Maybe it's a serial killer, but I'm thinking maybe it's gangs. Like ritual killings.
Let's concentrate on the victims.
Okay. Last one was Alvin Barrett.
He's cellmate. I'll talk to him. You did good.
Thanks.
I need you to give me some money.
Fine, I'll have the office credit your prison account this afternoon.
That's no good. I need real cash to get anything done here.
Inmates aren't allowed to have cash.
You'll find a way to bring me the money. Easy.
Louis, I don't know if I can do that.
Burke glances at DeGraff and a guard who are squinting through the windows. DeGraff nods.
This is my life we're talking about.
I'll get you the money.
Burke and Amanda lock eyes. Burke gets up and leaves. Amanda remains seated.
Tell the kids that he loves them.
Keane throws papers on his briefcase.
I won't condone it.
Mr. Keane, if you won't authorize the money, I'll give it to him myself.
Don't play games with me, Ms. Beckett. You are a liaison on this case and nothing more.
Dan, take it easy.
Keane picks up his briefcase and storms off.
Don't let him get to you.
Another one of your lovely peers?
Hi, Helen.
Thank you, Rosarita. I'll do it. Oh, I stopped asking Tom about these investigations years ago. It's all so sordid anyway.
What about politics interested you?
No, not anymore. Since I got out of the hospital, things have taken on a new perspective.
Vogler's gaze lingers on his wife. Meanwhile, in the prison, Burke mops the laundry room floor. He reacts briefly to a clicking noise behind him, but carries on mopping. Perez saunters in.
Puto, remember me, eh?
Perez circles Burke.
Culero. I want you to meet my homie, Bruce.
A muscular Chinaman enters, flipping a chain.
Kick the shit out of white trash like you, boy. Colero? So what you gonna do, huh?
Burke twists the mop handle. He glances between the Chinaman and Perez. Perez draws a shank. Burke hits him with the mop handle and high kicks the Chinaman. He kicks Perez in the face. He breaks off the handle. The Chinaman swings the chain and belts Burke, who drops the stick. They dodge each other at arm's length. The Chinaman hurls the chain repeatedly at Burke. Burke grabs his arm, knees him in the upper arm, punches him in the stomach and smashes him in the face. Perez charges and knocks Burke into a washing machine. He hits Burke over and over. Burke parries a blow and punches Perez in the head. The Chinaman high kicks Burke twice in the face. Burke returns his attack by high kicking. Burke grabs the Chinaman and propels him into the front of the dryer. The Chinaman's head goes through the glass. Burke switches the dryer on. Back in the cell, Konefki looks down from his bunk.
My wife, we like to read a lot.
Shit, the only thing I read is girly magazine letters, eh? Bring it back. Wait, listen to this one. Dear sir.
Burke slips the book cover to reveal a wad of cash.
I was working the late shift, and this big-titted mama comes up to me. Shit, do you think any of this stuff ever really happens?
Burke pockets it.
What happened to me?
A view of the black inmates in their cells. The inmates gawp at the passerby. One inmate advances on the infiltrator before moving off. The interloper climbs the stairs. He is eyeballed all the way. The intruder, Burke, makes for a curtained off cell.
Hawkins, you know him? Thanks. Hello, guys. You miss me?
Yes. This is the Lone Ranger.
You silly bastard. Kimo Sabe. My man just waltzes right on in here. Visits with the happy old Negroes.
Hawkins smokes a joint. He heats fluid in a pan.
Oh, Burke, you know that.
I am Lobo.
Yeah. You know how wolves stake out their territory pissing on things. I figure you pissed on just about everything around here.
You know everything, right?
Been here a long time.
What are you in for?
Murder.
Who is it? Let me guess. You're innocent, right?
I choked the summit on, right? Just shows I'm sitting here. Been hill for 10 years. That's a long time to be rolling smokes and counting cock roofies.
What's that?
Making shot for zip guns. Scary times. People getting spiked in the head and shit. Gotta learn to defend yourself so you don't get dusted.
On lead shot in a jar.
Figure I owe you something because of what you did the other day, huh?
Barrett. Who killed him? He was my friend.
Let me tell you something, boy. I don't owe you jack shit. You want to know what happened to your friend? See the priest.
The priest?
That's all I'm saying.
I'm telling you, man, the lower you go, the funkier it gets in this place. Down where we're going, the guards won't even come down here. This guy I'm gonna introduce you to. Priest, man. He's part fucking snake. I know you think I'm shitting you, but I'm not, man. Wait till you see his eyes. Don't look at him too long, though, man. It gives me the fucking creeps. I'm telling you, you gotta cover your ass down here, and I mean that literally, man. That's not a figure of speech. Don't blow your mind, man. You get to see this.
Konefki leads Burke to the dimly lit cells. One cell is covered in muslin cloth and sheeting. From inside the makeshift tent, a shadowy figure. A group of gaudy women adorn the outer section. Konefki encourages Burke to continue on. The priest, a manicured, bald black man, lies on a satin bed with two beauties.
What are you talking about? Look, that's not the deal we made.
Priest.
Listen. Look, I want my stuff now.
The priest removes his shades.
Same before. Priest. Miss Burke.
Yeah. I heard you went airborne on Perez. You want a lady?
No.
He thinks he's too good for me, priest.
What's wrong with my ladies?
Nothing. I just need some help.
Burke holds up a $100 bill. The braided woman Jersey smiles and snatches the bill. Burke glances at Konefki.
I get Jersey hormone pills. Is that the kind of help you want?
Alvin Barrett. Who killed him?
Someone punched a hole in his head.
Why?
I can't just tell you these things. I give you a little, you taste it. That's how things work. You could talk to Myerson, Barrett's former cellmate. He's in solitary now, but he works in the infirmary, night shifts. He can fill prescriptions if you got the money. Sure you don't want to sample my goods?
Take a wrench.
The priest smiles a manic smile.
Got another one.
Oops. Burke's mop clanks against a trolley. A red plastic container falls off.
What is this?
Goddamn medical waste.
A medic picks the container up. Blood leeches out of it.
Medical waste.
Burke mops up the pool of blood on the floor.
You Myerson?
What do you want?
I need some medicine.
Got prescription drugs, morphine and uppers. What do you need?
I hear you were a Barrett cellmate. Was a good kid, huh?
Yeah, well, he's dead now.
Yeah, drugs. Bad news.
No way. He was as green as grass. He never did nothing. A convenience store robbery, and that's it.
Maybe he wasn't a gang then, huh?
Yeah, I said he was clean. What are you so curious about?
He was my friend. Got spiked in the head. Maybe you know how he did it.
Myerson stares in horror.
I'm not saying another word.
Oh, yes, you are.
Hey, fuck you.
Burke rams him against the bars.
Hey, what is this?
What's this? Soda pop.
You're gonna drink soda pop.
No, please, man, don't. Please, man, I didn't do nothing. Christ. Look, they'll kill me if I talk. A guard let him in, not me.
Lock up. 5 minutes. Move it.
Burke puts the fluid down.
I'll talk to you.
In the city, Amanda flicks through a magazine while eating pizza.
Hello?
It's Burke. I've got something.
Oh, hang on a sec. Okay, I'm ready.
Barrett's cellmate is scared. Whatever's going on, the guards are involved. I need to see the victim's files.
Well, the files haven't been transferred to computer yet. Harrison's files are all still at the prison.
In the tent, Burke closes his eyes.
What are you doing?
Right now? Eating dinner. Burke? Is there anything else?
I'll be in touch.
Burke shuts off the call.
Have a nice little chat.
The priest retrieves his phone.
I need the key to the records room.
That can be arranged.
Hawkins wheels a cloth laundry basket down a corridor. The guard at the desk pulls him up.
Hey!
Huh?
Hey!
What?
What do you got here, huh? A load of shirts for the reception desk.
The guard shakes his head. He prods his truncheon into the shirts.
Okay. You got me. Taking some pruno over to the guys in storage.
Now you know I'm going to have to take that, huh?
Sure.
Burke crawls out from the side of the basket.
I don't think so.
All right, man.
Well, maybe. Well, let me try some.
He slips into the records office. He locks the door. He opens the filing cabinet and wades through the files. He goes to a second cabinet and flicks through the contents. Meanwhile, the guard swigs the pruno. He spits it out.
Oh, man. Well, you're going to have to develop a taste for it. You just can't go wading into the shit, you know.
Burke plucks out Alvin Barrett's file. He runs his fingers under the letters S.L.
S.L.R.H.
Burke scrutinizes the death certificate. He shakes his head.
Your rival? What's the connection?
He replaces the file. The drawer squeals as it closes. Burke grazes his wrist.
What was that?
What was that?
The guard drops the pruno down. He makes for the door Burke entered. He unlocks it and switches the light on. Hawkins follows him. He scans the room. An old file, an ashtray and a mug lie discarded on a table. Hawkins dawdles behind. Above their heads, Burke is hugging a ventilation duct. The blood from the graze trickles down Burke's arm.
I must be going crazy.
Nah.
It drips on the table. Hawkins spots the droplets. He covers the droplets with the mug.
A lot of old ghosts hanging around this place.
Let's get out of here.
The guard pats Hawkins, then leaves the room. Hawkins grins as he shuts the door. Later in the visitor's area...
Only the murder victims have the SM notation. The victims are brand new. No drugs, no gangs. All different ages and race.
I can check with the mainframe system. Maybe SL is some sort of departmental abbreviation.
I've got the guy for you. I've worked with him before. He's a real pro. He'll do the hacking for you. And don't tell Keen about this, okay?
Amanda smiles and nods. A geeky baby-faced hacker types 10 to the dozen.
You know this is illegal.
Sort of illegal. Do you mind?
Are you kidding? I love it. See, I like to think of myself as a renegade. You know, like a cowboy. Yeah, I'm a computer cowboy. That's what I am.
The geek, Tisdale, whips off his specs. Amanda pulls a face.
Well?
Well, what? It's checking. SL could stand for virtually anything. Nothing at all.
Tisdale leers at her breasts. Amanda spots him and buttons her blouse up tight.
So, you got a boyfriend or something? The computer looks for combinations of words beginning with SL. Then it sees if there are any files in the system that are named that. Shit, I'm missing Star Trek. You want to watch Star Trek?
No.
All right. So, we got something here. Now we see where the files are most commonly accessed from. Bingo!
That's it, that's the file.
Yeah.
The words sleep and access file flash up.
Shit. We need the password.
That's okay, it's a start.
Give me a day or two, and I can locate any terminals it's been accessed from. You'd find out whose file it was.
Great. Come on, I'll take you home. Your parents will kill me.
Who needs parents? We're both adults, aren't we?
No. I'm an adult. And you're a kid. Your hormones are working overtime. Come on, I'll take you home. I'd rather not tell Keen about what I'm doing with the computers. Burke seems to think that we can get it done a lot quicker without his interference.
I wonder if Detective Burke isn't interfering with your work habits. We have procedures for a reason.
I know what I'm doing, Tom.
I hope you do. I promised your father I'd take care of you.
Don't worry.
Inside the prison infirmary, a figure advances on Myerson, who is all alone at a desk. He reads a paper and smokes. Myerson starts.
You want to duck now?
Look, I found out some things. But what they did to Barrett, he didn't deserve what they did to him. Look, we used to smuggle out some drugs from Overstock. Well, I was in surgery last night. I just keep missing. I'm a dead man.
Relax. Don't worry.
And I need protection. Because another guy got spiked last night. And this is serious shit.
Quiet. Shit. Forget to give the cell key back to Priest.
Burke saunters out. Myerson shakily finishes his fag.
Protection. I need protection.
Back in his cell, Burke reads a book. Jersey sneaks up to the cell and kneels down.
Lady Killer, I just thought you'd like to know. I think somebody's gonna pay you a visit tonight. I'd think twice about sleeping.
Thanks.
I just hate to see a good man go to waste.
She creeps away. Meanwhile, at Amanda's, Tisdale types furiously.
Finally figured out the password. Had the computer running word variations for hours. Of course, you know, it was a special program that I devised myself.
Amanda places a hand on his shoulder.
I was reading this article in a men's magazine about the virility of men in their middle to late teens, and... Right.
Just do it, Tisdale.
Here we go.
Tisdale types in the word Morpheus.
Morpheus was a Greek god of sleep. I'm a whiz at mythology. You criminals have a sense of humor. Yes! We're in.
You're kidding me.
No. Is there anything else you need?
We'll print it out. Can you make a copy of this file?
Sure I can.
Great.
He types print last file. The file degenerates as it crosses
the
screen.
What is it doing?
Someone is destroying it from the other end.
Well, stop it.
I can't. We just have to hope it's guard the print copy first.
The computer confirms the print.
Where's this file access from?
The infirmary for one. I still checked up on the other abbreviation. HLA is a coding system for tissue typing. I still check in on that other point of access. It's definitely someone outside the prison.
Okay, that's our key player. This is my deep number. You call me as soon as you find it out, okay? Tisdale, you are a stud.
Amanda pecks him on the cheek. Tisdale beams.
All the sleep file contained was a whole list of prisoner ID numbers strung together along with the prisoner's blood types. Every person who was on that list has been killed.
It's a hit list.
Exactly. Each victim had a physical days before they were killed, and each one came up clean. You know, no diseases, no drug addiction, nothing. I think that someone from the outside is working with the guards. Kane would have access to the files. Oh, Burke, there's something else. Your number's next on a list.
A clock reads 3:05 a.m. A shot of a man's feet as he approaches Burke's cell. Burke is curled up in the bottom bunk. In the top bunk, Konefki stirs in his sleep. The mystery man slides open the cell door. A second man follows. Two hands cut a makeshift garrote into Konevki's throat. The man drags him from the bunk. Keel slices the garrote into Konevki's neck. The blonde stabs the blankets on Burke's bunk. Burke rolls from under the bunks and kicks the blonde in the head. Keel dumps Konevki's corpse on Burke.
What's going on in here?
Help.
Jesus, grab him!
The guards drag a battered Burke through the dim corridors to solitary. They throw him into a dank cell. De Graaf strides in, his truncheon to hand.
What are you doing in my prison? Something wrong with your mouth?
De Graaf beats him in the face. Burke struggles to his knees. De Graaf belts him in the back.
You killed Konevki.
Didn't do it.
I know.
De Graaf pats him on the shoulder. He gives him one final kick to the ribs. A shaking Burke rolls onto his back. He convulses.
When I know you. When I know you. When I know you like I know.
A terrified Jersey stops filing her nails. A pair of white hands fixes up a screwdriver.
You got a big mouth, Jersey.
Really? I didn't say no names.
She's transfixed by the screwdriver.
I didn't see you.
In solitary, a half-burnt cigarette rests in a man's hand. His watch reads 1:35 a.m. Myerson lifts the fag to his lips. Footfall makes him jump. A shadow appears on the wall outside. Myerson leaps off his bunk.
Who's here? What's going on? What do you want? I didn't say nothing. Who said it? Talk to Burke. This is bullshit.
A petrol can.
What is that?
A hand unscrews the cap. Myerson stamps on his fag.
Oh, hey, wait a minute. You can't do this. Hey, no, we gotta get my side of it. I didn't say nothing. Somebody's lying, man. Somebody's fucking lying on me. Hey, I'm gonna face. You can't do this, man. Oh, God. Just stop. Stop. Wait a minute. Just wait 1 second. How'd you find that out? It's boosted, man!
The man sucks petrol up through a tube and squirts it at Myerson.
What do you want me to do?
The assailant floods the cell floor with petrol.
You're a liar, Myers.
No!
He lights a match. He drops the match onto the fluid. The petrol ignites, the floor blazes and Myerson goes up in flames. An incinerated Myerson smashes the cell window in utter agony. Penitentiary.
This is ridiculous.
De Graaf and Keller take Amanda into a medic's room.
Want to see your husband?
Keller motions for Amanda to hand over her handbag.
Bring in a female guard.
None seem to be available. For the arms.
Amanda lifts up her arms. Keller pats her shoulders and fondles her breasts and lower body.
I don't know. But you're going to have to remove your clothes.
Amanda glowers at Keller.
Your husband is waiting.
She unbuttons her blouse and pulls it off. In solitary, a cockroach crawls out from a filthy drain. A bruised and battered Burke watches it crawl. A shadow crosses his eyeline. De Graff opens the door. Daylight reveals a naked Burke.
Clean up and get dressed. Your pretty little wife wants to see you.
De Graff saunters out. Burke wrenches his chains in fury. Outside, the guards drag Burke to a trailer.
You have a half hour, Burke.
Yeah, have a good time, everybody.
They push him inside. Inside, Burke faces Amanda. She examines his wounds.
God. It's okay.
Who did this to you?
The guards. They let two prisoners into my cell. One of them had an ice pick. At least we know it's been spiking people. What about you?
Nothing.
She walks away from him. She looks up at his face.
You look like hell.
So do you.
She turns away from him and puts her hand to her forehead. She tries to compose herself. Burke follows her. He smells her hair.
I checked on Dr. Gottesman and,
He pulls her hair away from her neck.
And?
He didn't get into med school here. Huh? He went to South America.
South America.
And?
He pushes his body up against hers.
There were, a couple of, malpractice suits.
He kisses her neck. She looks up to the ceiling and wraps her arms around him. He lifts her up to sit on the countertop. He goes to kiss her.
So beautiful.
She stares into his eyes nervously. They kiss passionately. He picks her up and carries her away. Their shadows on the walls sink down. In the prison yard, inmates chat and exercise. Priest and Hawkins stroll through the yard.
You guys all spook because you think there's some big conspiracy.
Priest, you know as well as I what's going on, man. Brother got his brain scrambled just last night. Straight through the skull like a piece of meat. Could be me next, could be you.
So big white Superman gonna save our asses? What makes you think we wanna be saved?
Burke needs our help. He needs a distraction.
From afar, the blonde prisoner watches them chatting. Later inside, an explosion bursts open doors to the medical center.
Good work, Buckins.
Thank the priest.
Shit.
Yeah, it's locked. They cart this medical waste in and out of here day and night.
Where does it go?
I don't know. They got a special pickup for it. It's hazardous.
Oh, yeah? Let's see what's inside. Watch your eye.
Funny. Hurry up.
Burke grabs a cast cutter from a table and holds it to the padlock. He whacks the lock with the cutter and opens it. He swings open the fridge door. Inside are red tubs. He pulls a bag from one of the tubs.
Hold this.
Burke stares at the bag full of blood.
It's a human heart.
Oh, God.
The inmates are gathered in the internal courtyard. Burke saunters up to join them.
What's going on?
New dude being brought in.
All this for a new fish?
And this ain't no fish. This is the man.
The inmates look to the entrance. A blonde-haired man is led in. On the other side of the courtyard, the man turns to stare towards Burke. Burke gawps at his glassy eyes and the scar down his cheek. It's the Sandman. Later in the showers. In the steamy shadows, two men jump out on another and kick him in the stomach. The man is Burke. They drag him across the showers and attach a handcuff to each of his wrists. They throw the handcuff chains over a water pipe in the ceiling. Writhing in pain, Burke hangs from the pipes. The Sandman strolls in. Burke lifts his head and sees him approach. The two men hold the ends of the handcuff chains. The Sandman rips open Burke's white t-shirt.
Long time no see, Burke.
He punches Burke and grabs his throat. He holds a knife against Burke's chest.
Would you like to know what's out there? Would you like to know what's on the other side?
He stabs the tip of the knife in.
You know what prisoners hate more than anything else, Burke? Prisoners hate cops more than anything else.
Fucking pigs!
He twists the knife.
Every killer in this prison is gonna know who you are. You're not gonna know when it's coming.
He wiggles the knife. The Sandman steps back and pulls out the knife.
Let him go.
They let go of the chains and Burke drops to the floor, clutching his chest. The Sandman glares at him.
Bring me a dream, Burke. Bring me a dream.
He walks away, leaving Burke lying on the wet floor. The knife glistens in his hand. Two officers escort Burke back to his cell. Burke holds one hand over his wounded chest as he walks. The prisoners taunt him from their cells. The officers nudge Burke into his cell. Hawkins stands by the bars outside Burke's cell.
That's a load of shit you were giving us. Barrett wasn't your friend.
Burke looks around suspiciously.
Trying to stop what's going on here. Doesn't that make a difference?
In the cage, man, a cop is worse than a baby raper. Why are you still here? You're a dead man.
I need your help.
It's too late.
Hey, Hawkins. Hey, Hawkins.
He goes.
Hawkins. Hawkins!
The sun rises over the prison. Inside, the inmates throw books through the bars of their cells. Burke watches with a disapproving look as the inner courtyard is covered in books. Amanda parks on a drive and rushes past smartly dressed people into a garden party. Groups stand around by a pool, chatting and drinking. Keane walks up to Amanda.
Miss Beckett, I've been looking for you.
You stay the hell away from me. Tom, excuse me. I need to speak with you. It's urgent. It's about Keane.
Let's go inside.
Tom Vogler guides her inside. He rests his hand on the small of her back. Keane watches them go. Inside, Tom closes two white double doors behind them. Amanda wrings her hands.
Now, you want to tell me what's going on?
We have to get Burke out of there. Keene has been in on this the entire time. Oh, wait. This has to do with it.
She runs over to her phone.
Yeah, Tiz, it's me.
Amanda, listen. I tracked the other point of access. The number's 555-6799.
55567.
Vogler's house!
Tom cuts the phone off.
Amanda, I never wanted this. Helen and I really did care about you.
Amanda tries the door.
No. Helen found out it would kill her. We have to keep the bad parts of our lives private.
He reaches into an ornate wooden box and pulls out a gun. Amanda stumbles backwards, her face full of fear.
He grew so resourceful that when the others didn't take care of him, I had the Sandman transferred there.
She gawps.
Why?
I did it to save her life. Helen got sick, she needed a liver. And she couldn't get one. It didn't matter how much money I had. The list was too long. So I found a doctor. Gottesman. He said he could get one. And once he started, he found you could make a lot of money selling life.
Amanda shakes her head in disbelief.
We're killing criminals. Garbage. After a while, he stopped thinking of them as humans.
His face clouds over, lost in thought. He still holds the gun in his hand.
Oh, Tom, there you are. What's going on?
Amanda stares at Helen by the door.
Tell her, Tom. Tell her how you murdered Four.
Amanda runs out, leaving Tom staring open-mouthed.
Helen.
Helen stares at Tom, her eyes filling with tears. Behind her, Amanda disappears down the corridor. Wires run from a tape deck up a wall. Booted feet climb a metal staircase and march along a metal-grilled walkway. The thin wires are attached to cell bars. The booted man arrives at the cell door. It's Guard Keller.
Hey, Burke. Sandman's coming to see you.
You don't have the guts to come in this cell.
Keller grabs the bars and Burke turns up the volume on the deck. Sparks fly.
What happened?
Keller drops to the floor. Burke grabs Keller's keys from his belt. He lets himself out and runs down past the other inmates who are still locked in their cells. A hand unlocks a metal cabinet marked door release. It turns a key and pulls down a lever marked manual release. All the cell doors slide open. The inmates come running out. The Sandman hears their footsteps and smiles to himself. He walks back into the inner courtyard and watches the inmates as they flock in the direction Burke went. The Sandman grins. Suddenly, his smile drops. He stands alone in the inner courtyard as the last of the inmates run out. Run down the dark, narrow corridors, chasing Burke as he sprints along. Burke suddenly runs into DeGraff. DeGraff spots the other prisoners hurtling towards him and pushes Burke out of the way. He orders the officers.
Jesus Christ, secure this door! Grab him!
DeGraff flicks back a lever marked emergency door release. The officers drag Burke off behind DeGraff. Hawkins stands watching. in a private room.
Gene, secure the infirmary.
Well, well, look who we have. Huh?
Great. Now we have all the assholes in one room.
You caused us a great deal of trouble, Detective Burke.
You scum.
Keller knocks Burke to the ground and loads his shotgun.
Let me do it.
It's gonna be messy killing off an undercover officer.
Go ahead, dust him. Blow his fucking head off!
DeGraff's finger tightens on the trigger as the door lock bursts open. Burke hits DeGraff in the face with the shotgun and chucks the gun to Hawkins, who has burst through the door with Priest. Burke kicks the Sandman repeatedly in the face. The Sandman has been knocked unconscious. Blood trickles from his mouth as he slides down the wall. Burke, Hawkins and Priest run down a corridor and hide in a stationery cupboard. Burke stares at Hawkins.
Why did you do it?
I don't know. Maybe I'm going soft in my old age. Let's just say I owe somebody something.
Keel bursts through the stationary cupboard door and fights with the dumbbell. He knocks both Hawkins and Priest away and pushes the dumbbell up against Burke's throat. Burke grips the weights and manages to force them away, kneeing Keel in the crotch. He whacks Keel round the face with the weights, and Keel falls to the floor, unconscious.
Get out of here.
Go to the kitchen.
Burke stares at Keel's body, then runs after the others. They race down dimly lit maze-like corridors which twist and turn. They slow to a stop as they spot the gang of inmates heading towards them.
Quick! The elevator to the kitchen!
They run into the lift and lower the heavy metal door just as the inmates reach it. Dr. Gottesman runs alone down a corridor. He suddenly stops.
God. You're just in time for surgery, Doc.
The inmates head towards him carrying knives and scissors. His exit is blocked by more prisoners. In the lift, Burke pulls the lift door open. A prisoner is waiting outside. He shoots Hawkins in the chest. Priest shoots back. Priest helps Hawkins as Burke slides down another metal door, separating them from the prisoners. A prisoner throws a bottle bomb under the door, which starts a fire in the corridor. Burke and Priest help Hawkins to sit on the floor in the kitchens.
Thanks.
DeGraff strides purposefully down a dark corridor. Burke leans over Hawkins.
You're hurt now, okay?
Yeah, stop yakking at me.
It's secure. We're okay for a while.
Burke puts a cloth against Hawkins' gunshot wound.
Can you make it?
Hawkins tries to stand.
I don't think so.
He's better off here.
Burke looks anxiously at Hawkins.
I have to get to the outside.
Priest shrugs.
I'll be back for you. Just hang up.
Burke runs off. Hawkins' face is illuminated in the flames.
Let him, man. Make sure he gets to the outside. Go on!
Priest reluctantly goes, leaving Hawkins sitting on the floor, panting in pain. Hawkins looks over to the door as DeGraff strides in, his shotgun held ready.
I know you're in here, Burke. You know why? Because I can smell the nigger.
His eyes scan the room. Hawkins has gone. DeGraff walks over to where Hawkins was sitting and looks around the room. Hawkins sits just feet away behind a wall. DeGraff reaches down and touches the blood on the floor. He rubs it between his fingers. DeGraff appears behind Hawkins. He holds the shotgun to his head.
Kiss your black ass goodbye.
Hawkins blinks calmly.
Go fuck yourself, you pudgy bastard.
Hawkins spits at DeGraff's feet. DeGraff smiles. A shot hits DeGraff in the chest and he falls to the floor. Hawkins looks shocked and turns to see Priest standing with a smoking shotgun.
I knew you needed me, brother. You make a deal with the priest, it's for keeps.
Hawkins bites his lip, fighting back tears. Burke makes his way down a concrete stairwell. Prisoners shout at him from behind bars on another floor.
Hawkins.
It's okay. You need me more than he does.
Follow me. You have to take the catwalk
through the ballroom. That's the only way to get out to the yard.
Priest leads Burke through the steaming boiler room. They creep along high walkways. The Sandman suddenly appears with an axe. He swings the axe into Priest, who falls into Burke's arms. The Sandman has disappeared.
Come on, Burke! Come to Papa!
Priest!
Burke shakes Priest's lifeless body. Burke looks up, determined, and begins to run along the metal walkways.
I'm up here, Burke! You leave, Hawkins dies!
Burke makes his way along walkways and up a ladder to a higher platform. He peers around in the darkness and clambers up a stepladder. He reaches a high platform with gauges and equipment. He circles the platform, looking anxiously around at the dark corners. His eyes dart around the steamy room. He raises his arms and clenches his fists.
Come on!
A huge wrench comes flying towards Burke and hits into his arms and face. He falls to the floor, wincing and disorientated. The Sandman slowly descends a flight of metal stairs towards Burke. The Sandman glares at Burke with a manic gleam in his eye. Burke stumbles to his feet. The Sandman kicks Burke back into a railing. He picks up the heavy wrench and swings at Burke. He strikes the railing and swings again, hitting Burke in the stomach. He holds the wrench around Burke's neck.
You like that, Burke?
He throws Burke to the ground and grins. He swings, whacking Burke in the ribs. Burke kicks the wrench from his hands. It falls off the platform. The Sandman punches Burke in the face. He writhes around on the floor. He stands up but can't see the Sandman. He spins around frantically. Burke runs along the walkways and races up a set of stairs. He jumps down onto a platform and looks around anxiously. Sweat drips from his muscular body. He tentatively creeps through the misty boiler room. He tiptoes along, peering between bars and pillars. The Sandman stands hidden in the shadows close to Burke. He slowly places his hand on a switch. A metal blade begins to whir. The Sandman swings on a bar, kicking Burke. He punches him and holds his face in front of the moving blade.
This is the part I love.
The spinning blade gets closer and closer to Burke's face. Burke kicks the Sandman, but he holds his grip. The blade spins in front of Burke's eyes. He manages to pull the Sandman down by the blade. The Sandman struggles free, kicking Burke in the crotch. He grabs Burke by the neck and hurls him over the metal platform railing. Burke smashes to the ground. Burke lies in a heap. The prisoners run to watch. Outside, police arrive. Back inside, the prisoners congregate to watch as the Sandman descends the stairs towards Burke, who's still lying on the floor. The Sandman's black shoes click purposefully against the grill. Burke struggles to pull himself to his feet. The Sandman runs his hands along the metal railing and strides up to Burke. The Sandman reaches up and removes a bulb from a hanging light. He smashes the light bulb and holds it above Burke as Burke staggers to his feet.
Wakey, wakey, Burke!
He swipes Burke's face.
Time to bleed!
He jabs at his arm and chest with the broken bulb. The two men circle each other as the prisoners cheer them on. Burke kicks the bulb away and round kicks the Sandman repeatedly in the face. He kicks the Sandman to the floor.
Come on!
The Sandman charges at Burke, but Burke defends himself and lands a few punches. The inmates cheer at the fight. Both men land punches. Burke blocks a punch and holds one of the Sandman's fists immobile while he beats him with the other hand. The Sandman knees Burke and pushes him against a metal door with his hand round his throat. He rips Burke's t-shirt, throwing him to the ground. The Sandman opens the metal door. Flames roar inside.
Welcome to hell!
The Sandman screams by the door with his arms outstretched. His face drops as he sees Burke coming towards him in a flying kick. He falls backwards into the flaming room. The inmates all go silent. They stare at the open boiler door. Burke turns and walks away. The inmates shake their heads.
Burke!
Burke turns to see the flaming Sandman hurtle through the door. The Sandman rolls around on the floor. He manages to beat out the flames from his clothes. Burke's jaw drops open as the Sandman pulls himself to his feet. He slowly rises to face Burke. The inmates cheer him on. The Sandman roars as Burke sidekicks his steaming body. He falls backwards and his head slams onto a spike. Impaled, he stares at Burke.
Can't kill me, Burke. I'm the Sandman.
Burke walks up to him and pushes on his chin. The Sandman's face goes blank. Burke turns away. The watching prisoners step aside.
Let the man through.
Let him go, man. He just
open up, man. Let him out. Let him out.
Burke walks among them, his wounds bleeding.
Let him go by. He
did it, man. Really did it. He dusted him.
Open up, man. Open up. He just kicked up the sand, man.
He walks up the stairs, glancing at the prisoners he passes.
Back up, Atos.
Clear it out back there.
You got it, Holmes.
The prisoners look him up and down as he walks past. Outside, ambulances, fire engines and police are gathered. Amanda arrives and surveys the chaotic scene. Firemen work to put out a section of the flaming building. Amanda's eyes are wide. She hugs her arms around her. She spots a man being carried out of the building towards a stretcher. Burke carries Hawkins and lays him on a stretcher. Burke puts his arm around Amanda.
This is Hawkins. You saved my life.
I had to, Burke. I took a life. I gave one back. Maybe now I'm even. Just watch your ass, 72689. We'll be there the next time.
They wheel him into the ambulance. Burke and Amanda face each other. He puts his hands round her waist and they kiss passionately. They walk off, still kissing. ITFC audio description.